I put the metronome on. Metronome?
Metronome.
Metronome. I'm gaining. I'm too high. Am I high?
Yeah, it's red. Ooh, it's
Is that too loud for you?
Way too loud for me.
I like it that loud.
It hurts my earballs.
How about that? We need an audio, like, volume controller so you can have a different volume.
Yeah,
I can
that
have
would
a different
be,
volume.
That would be cool.
Okay,
can't
how's
you
that?
Turn me down, like, just my headphones
Let
myself?
Me turn off the metronome button. Right now we're hearing a metronome. Okay, that's off now.
Okay.
Okay, now it's too loud.
Isn't it bad that we're red? Should we?
Hello! That's bad.
That's, like, the whole thing is red.
Hello.
Just, like, very red.
Check one, two.
Or does the red just mean that we're, like, recording?
I think, well, no, we're recording.
I've just never stared at that screen before.
That means we're live. That means we're recording. We're on board. I fixed Spencer's microphone here. It kept
awesome.
Slipping.
He's not here to experience it.
No, he's not. But once he comes back, he'll realize how much I've changed his life by fixing it. Now I'm going to... See, without Spencer, we have to troubleshoot everything.
Yeah,
because
Spencer's the one who usually sets everything up in that sense.
Right. He sets up... He's the audio man. He's the Ottoman. Ottoman. The audio man, Ottoman. I hope I'm not peaking. I think I am peaking. I'm peaking a little bit. I'm going to lower myself, but I like hearing my voice. Hello? Can you hear me?
I mean, you can still hear you.
Am I bad? It might be a peaky episode.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. Well, you know, welcome back to We Stayed Late, the podcast without Spencer Stark, the podcast that has $20,000 in Icarus, something
right?
like that. I haven't checked.
Last time I checked was either yesterday or the day before, and I was like, you doubled your thing, Spencer.
Yeah,
what 20, the fuck?
It's insane how like, congratulations to him. That's
yeah.
so awesome.
And you guys should check it out. Go to, go on Kickstarter and search Icarus.
Yeah, go to Kickstarter. I'm trying to look for it right now. I don't know where it is. It's probably lost in the Slack. Somewhere, I'm not going to find it. Is this it? No, that's the world's blackest black 3.0. I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's paint. We could talk about that.
Oh, is that like, it's like that movie, Attack the Block. Have you seen Attack the Block?
Yes, I have
is
seen
it like Attack the Block?
Kind of like
with
the creatures
monsters?
You can't like see through them. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, the guy who, that's, I think we talked about it before. Remember I told you about like this weird paint art feud with copyright stuff with Vanta Black and stuff? This was ages ago.
Yeah. Well, they had a copyright issue with Attack the Block?
No. Oh. With Vanta Paint.
Oh, what? Okay.
The paint that's the blackest paint. I'll just do a quick
yes.
Summary. Essentially, this company, this like scientific research company, made the blackest black paint, and they called it Vanta Black.
Perfect.
And it's like kind of toxic, but like if you paint something with it. It looks like a void. It's like it doesn't. It's like incredibly dark. This artist named Anish Kapoor, I believe that's his name.
Okay.
He bought the trademark and copyright to use that paint, and he said no other artist can use this paint but me.
Well,
because he bought it.
Okay.
And everyone, of course, this pissed off artists everywhere, like, what the fuck? What do you mean no one else could use this paint? But he bought the rights to the paint from the scientist group. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, it's his. He can do whatever he wants with it. And if he doesn't want to share it, he doesn't have to.
So did somebody else make up, like, okay, well, I'll make up my own formula.
So that's exactly what happened. This guy named Stuart Stipple was just like, well, fuck you and your Vanta Black. I'm going to make the second closest blackest black paint. And it's non-toxic. It smells great.
And the other one was toxic?
The other one was kind of toxic. Like, okay. It was like,
because
it was like made by scientists who were this by accident. But here's the catch. The catch was that if you were to buy this paint, which was only 12 pounds, I believe, at the time, you got a nice sizable bottle of it, was that if you bought it, that everybody in the world can use it except Anish Kapoor.
Are you serious?
It's part of the deal of buying it. It's just like, he can't use this paint. It's part of the agreement, which is
perfect,
hilarious, which then led to this really petty feud because, of course, like no artist, even Anish Kapoor, likes that feeling of being left out.
Well, maybe you shouldn't leave out other people.
Right. Exactly. He's also the guy who made Anish Kapoor is the guy who made the bean in Chicago.
Okay.
That's his thing. Yeah. He also hates that people call it the bean, by the way. Thus,
I don't know it by any other name.
Right. It's the bean. It has an actual name.
What?
I refuse to learn what that is because it's the bean. But he hates that people calls it the bean. He's that kind of artist. So Stuart Stipple. So at some point, one of Anish's underlings bought him the paint, and he took a picture with it, haha, I have the paint.
Well, can they sue him now? They're like, well, now we're coming to
No, because it's just like, it's again, what you do is you stay petty. So this guy, Sewer Simple, he started to make he started making all the paints. So he said, I'm making the pinkest pink, the greenest green, the reddest red. So he started doing all.
The guy who did the blackest black is now doing the.
Yeah. So he made all the colors, same, and all of his products have the same rule that Anish Kapoor can't use them.
Beautiful.
And. But since Anish got a hold of the blackest black,
right.
He made a so Stuart made a glitter, a glitterous glitter.
Okay.
And because when Anish got the paint, he stuck his finger in it and did a big middle finger fuck you thing with it.
Okay.
So Stuart Sipple made this glitterous glitter made of essentially very tiny bits of glass, for real glass that you could use in your artwork and make things shiny and stuff. But it's dangerous because it's tiny shards of glass.
Right.
And he essentially made that. He was like, Anish, stick your finger in this. Kind of one of those. And you're like, haha, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
But the feud has kind of gone back and forth. He's also been let's all meet at the bean. He made a Facebook event to just be so it's stuff like that.
The bean is called Cloud Gate.
Yeah, it's the bean.
Cloud Gate? Boo. The bean? I love it.
The bean is way better.
The bean is way better. I'm over here DJing.
And so as a result, the Stuart Sipple has continually improved on his Blackest Black formula. So now he's just recently released Blackest 3.0.
Okay.
And I'm planning to buy a bottle soon because it's cheap. There's cheap paint.
Really?
Yeah, I've painted stuff. If you ever watch Mike Falzone's videos, sometimes in the back of of him, you see a weird black and white painting.
Uh-huh.
I did that using the blackest Stuart Sibyl's blackest 2.0 paint.
How much is it? How much are we talking
about? I think last time it was $12. It was
$12.
It's cheap, man.
I mean, mind you,
it costs a little more to ship because it's in the UK.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, All the butt paintings I did were all Stuart Sipple paints.
No.
Which all his colorful paints all kind of smell like bubblegum.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
Oh, it's a Kickstarter.
Yeah, so I thought, he's kickstarting it.
I just saw it, the world's blackest black 3. Okay, so this one, funded in 38 hours, so I don't need to kickstart it. Well, I guess if I pay it, I can get it early.
Yeah. I mean, he'll still sell it. He's
Right. Well, I've been trying to get into, I've been painting to relax. Myself.
It's really, here's the thing though, if you paint, it's really, really dark. It legitimately, here's the thing though, it does look very matte.
Yes.
So it looks
that.
Better if you're painting actual objects. So if you paint something that has a 3D thing and you paint with it, that's when you really see how dark it is.
It makes it almost a flatter image, right?
Yeah, but it's flat. There's no sheen or shine to it. So he also sells a coating.
Uh-huh.
To make it shiny so that it could last, because it's not something you can't paint something and leave it outside because it's matte, so it doesn't, it's porous.
Oh, I never knew that.
So he has a sealant if you want to coat it, but it kind of loses its effect
right
when you do that, but it's there if you need it. But again, it's cheap. They're acrylic paints. They're cheap, non-toxic, except I think maybe the orange. He has a warning on the orange and the red, hey, don't eat around those two are kind of maybe because they're the brightest versions of their color.
Wait for 4.0 or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean in general, if you're painting, you probably shouldn't have food around anyway.
No,
but I know many of artists, including myself, who have had a cup of tea near their paints and accidentally dipped their paintbrushes in their tea, and they're I just ruined that.
I don't mean drinking the paint.
I've heard of some people doing that too, picking up the wrong cup.
Right.
But it sucks when I have a mug around and I'm not thinking about it, and then I just go bloop and I'm like, oh fuck, that's my tea.
Gonna have to heat that up. Gonna have to wait 10 more minutes for the heat to cool down a bit, because when you have tea, you can't have tea right away. You gotta wait.
Yeah, I think I saw some meme of the ratio of when tea is good. It's too hot. 10 minutes of it just being right where you have that window, and then suddenly way too cold, and you're like,
I saw this thing online. I think on Instagram. Where you put it's a coffee cup. You put it on this pad, and then it keeps the temperature at like
Oh, interesting.
So if it gets too cold, it heats it back up. If it gets too hot, it cools it down.
Interesting. I kind of like that.
Or it might be also a mug too. I imagine someone.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure it's like a set.
Why put it on a plate when you can put it in a mug? So I'm sure there's different kinds.
Interesting.
The technology is out there.
Fancy tea people.
Yeah.
My mom scolded me for like I was. Oh my god! I used to make my tea in the microwave. God forbid.
Microwave? Who, you?
Yeah, because I was like, who gives a shit? Because I'm like, I just need it to be like.
You just need to be warm. Because
here's the thing. Also, like, if I did it in the microwave, I'd get it to the right temperature
immediately.
And just like it would be fine.
You don't have to wait.
And it would like here's the thing. I would brew it too, so it'd be like put it in cold, put it in and brew, and I'd take it out. I'm like, oh, perfect temperature, and it's brewed.
Yeah.
But apparently, this is like a big faux pas and a big sin, and like if like people would be like meh about it. So I was like, all right, including my mom apparently, because when she visited, she was just like, "What do you mean you don't have a kettle?" And I was like, "Why would I have a kettle? I have a microwave." She's like, "You don't even heat it up, like boil the water on the stove." And I was like, "That takes forever. Why would I do that?" And she's like, "Well, I'm gonna get you an automatic kettle." And she got like we went around the stores. I didn't know why. She was like, "Can we go to Target?" And I was just like, "Why?" Or first she wanted to go to IKEA, and we went to IKEA and we looked around. Didn't she's like, "Oh, it's not here." I was like, what are you looking for? And she's like, I want to surprise you. I was like, okay. I was like, let's go to Target. And then she got the kettle. I was like, you really want just like, it's great. I use it all the time.
Yeah,
it makes fast hot water.
We definitely have, we have a kettle at our house, but we didn't buy it. Someone else bought it.
Yeah,
left
it doesn't seem
there.
Like a purchase you make for yourself.
And then I was like, okay, I guess I'll start using it now. But I'll tell you what I did start getting into, French press.
I've heard if you like coffee, that sounds like the way to go.
Someone was demonstrating it at work. They're like, oh yeah, let me just show you. And they showed it to me. And then I tasted it and it was delicious. Like, because usually when I drink coffee, I'm like, okay, I've tried to go black on coffee. I give up. I'm going to put lots of cream and lots of sugar. I'm done with it.
Yeah. That's my boat,
you know,
with
I mean?
Coffee. It's like, give me the milk and sugar.
That's fine. You know what I mean? Make your jokes about, oh, you want some coffee with your cream? Yes. I do want a little bit of coffee with my cream. Go, ha,
yeah.
ha, ha.
Yeah.
Funny joke. Mm. But like, they gave me the French press coffee and it's very good. And
it smoother?
It's a lot smoother. The taste is bolder and it's not as burnt. And since the flavor is so good and prominent, I didn't really need cream and sugar. Like, I could enjoy it the way it is.
That's
and if you
great.
Add a little bit of cream and sugar, then that's fine too.
Yeah.
But it's like, you don't have to like pour all this cream and sugar in.
Right.
It,
you so. Don't have to compensate for like all the failings of the burnt coffee.
Right. So, you know, now I got, I'm thinking about getting on Amazon, getting a little grinder because you got to grind the
beans.
See,
that's the thing. That's what put me off. I was just like, man, that's a lot of work.
It's definitely like.
But I understand, like, if you really enjoy coffee, then that's worth the effort because it becomes part of the process. And
it's
like,
a process, yeah.
And it's like part of the experience. And like, so I understand the aesthetics of it. I understand like the process of it. It's like, yeah, do it.
For me,
since I'm not a big coffee like I said, when I have coffee, it's milk and sugar. It's a cafe con leche. It's not like, you know, so like for me, not worth it. However, but like whenever I see people who do it, I'm like, I see why you enjoy this. It's nice.
I
tried cold brew. Not for me.
Cold brew makes me shaky.
Cold brew is too. It's like a mix of too strong and way too bitterer for me.
You gotta put that cream and sugar in.
Yeah, it's just like I'm like, nah, I'm not into this. And then I tried that butter coffee. I tried that bullet butter coffee.
Butter coffee.
Ugh, it was like a trend in LA for like a hot second.
It's not. You don't put butter in this.
You
coffee.
Put butter in your coffee. It's
what?
Supposed to be like. Apparently, it's something about the fat in the butter. It's like doing like an but it's like a special butter. It's not just like regular butter. It's like the type of fat that your body likes, kind of thing. But they call, if you ever hear anything called bullet coffee,
okay,
it's like them putting like, I think we're still recording though. It's just our headphones that are off.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, because I'm looking at the little signal and the signal's still going.
You know, I'm sorry.
So
for
it's there.
There we go.
Yeah.
I feel like I can only hear out of my
Yeah, ear. Only one ear, which is okay. Like it's fine.
Oh, I figured it out.
Oh, you there? Oh, there we go.
I'm sorry. I'm like looking at the laptop and looking at
at
the same time because I
you
want to
check it.
I'm checking it.
No,
I'm
you're doing the right thing.
I'm doing the right thing. I know. I feel like, and I'm trying to move it forward, but I'm also afraid of unplugging it and then losing this audio. So.
You'll be fine. It'll be
okay,
good.
We're doing it. We did it.
But yeah, like it's the theory is something about like you add this like stick of butter to the coffee, and when you have it, it like boosts your metabolism in a way. That like does something like,
right.
I don't know. It's like kind of like an Atkins kind of situation with the coffee.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. And I tried it and I didn't like the taste at all. I don't hesitate to say disgusting because I wasn't sure. Maybe I just had a bad bullet coffee. Right. I don't want to dismiss it like outright. But the one I had, I did not enjoy at all.
But can I just make it, like, put make my own
butter? I think it's
like
a special type of butter. I don't think it's, like, a regular stick of butter. Although I've heard people doing, like, instead of cream, they stick, like, a chunk of butter in their coffee and make it extra fatty. Mm-hmm. So that if you're doing, like, an Atkins thing,
you can,
like,
you can,
as a substitute for, like, a breakfast. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
Diets are weird.
It's very weird.
And coffee culture's strange and beautiful and weird, and it's like
it's a whole thing.
I like coffee culture, like how I like sneaker culture, where I'm like, I don't participate in it, but holy shit, like I have to learn a little bit about sneaker culture because of my job with the World Star, because like people are into it, so we have to talk about it, and I'm like, what the fuck, wow.
I don't get it. I mean, if you love sneakers, hey, all power to you. I don't get it. I mean, I look at them and they all look the same to me.
It's just another collectible.
It's so a collectible.
Like if you have a thing where it's like you like toys,
it's a collectible.
It's a collectible, and people like there are limited edition numbers.
Okay.
It's like, but it's also like, so there's people who always buy two because they want to wear them, because part of the flex is being able to wear and say, look, I got this shoe.
Right.
But the other part of the culture is the collectible part, where you want to keep them preserved so you can sell them later.
My God. And I'm hearing about people who go in, they'll buy like 20 of them.
Yeah.
And then they'll upsell them.
Oh, yeah.
To people. It sounds crazy. It sounds like
people
these people who are like, you know, whatever. Like this, they're nerds. These are
nerds. Oh, yeah. It's a collectible fashion thing.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, though, I'll see a shoe where I'm like, damn, I want that shoe. I'm like, damn, like it's not for your regular consumer. Like I really wanted those Spider-Man shoes from Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
He wears like particular Nike
that
they made for the movie, and then Nike made it. Yeah, because they were like, oh, because he wears like a certain brand
it's
of Jordans.
Cool, yeah.
Like it was already a shoe that existed.
Right.
And when the movie came out, they're like, oh, we'll make another like batch of these shoes to tie in with the movie, because why the fuck not?
Why not?
And I was like, I want a pair of those shoes. That's pretty rad. Gone.
Really?
Gone so fast. But that's also like you're combining nerds who collect and sneakerheads. So you're like, oh, fuck. No one's
way gone.
You're not getting those
shoes. Hello, we have these spider. Gone.
Gone. They're like, ooh, like, yeah. So it's like, but I want a pair.
I want a pair. I mean, that's kind of cool.
I want a pair because I want a pair so I could like wear it in cosplay.
And then
stuff,
I can listen to Post Malone and like try to sing the song and not really know the song.
Yeah.
You know?
So you finally saw it?
I did. I finally saw it.
Oh, wasn't it wonderful?
It was amazing. I loved it.
It comes out on DVD in March, so I'm really excited.
Beautiful, because I just watched it and I want to watch it again.
Me too.
So now
I've been itching to watch it. Like I wanted to see it in the theater again. So I was like half glad that it got. Well, I was very glad it got nominated for all the awards, but that also kept it in the theaters longer, because normally that movie would have come out in February as a Blu-ray,
right?
And so I was like, shit, they're keeping it in theaters longer so people could go see it for like their nominations. I'm like, that's good,
that makes sense.
But I'm like, but I want it.
I want it now.
I don't like buy DVDs and stuff that often, but this one I'm like, I want it so I could just kind of leave on.
Yeah, it's exactly it. Leave it on. It's beautiful.
It's just so pretty and so cool, and what you can do with like 3D and it's so good.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the movie, and I don't know what else to say. I mean, you guys talked beautifully about it, and it's a fantastic movie.
But we didn't talk about the plot because we didn't want you to
know
the plot.
That's true. Maybe should we wait for Spencer?
I mean, yeah, we could
always.
This
is an ongoing.
Ongoing thing.
Are we ever?
This could be like the new Potter thing, where every other podcast.
Are we going to talk about Spider-Man?
We could talk about Spider-Man and how Miles is wonderful, and like how they like, oh man, oh, it's so good.
It's very good. I love it. Okay, great. Oh, sorry. I'm very scared about this. I'm scared about
it. Do you want to test it? Do you want to pause?
Should we pause?
We could pause. There's
and
nothing that
see?
Says we can't pause, and you could test it and then we see.
Okay, we'll be back. And we're back, baby.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay. That's going to be work for me on the editing side.
Really? I mean, I'd say just leave it as is. We pause it and then like we came back.
Well,
and
I got to sync this bad boy up.
Oh.
I should have cut it. It doesn't matter. You don't worry about it, guys. You just enjoy the ride and the sweet podcast. Yeah. So we're talking about sneakers. Yeah, sneaker culture. Do we want to talk about our three things?
Do you remember what the third thing was? Because I don't remember what the third thing was.
I was like, it cannot be perspiration.
Perspiration?
Perspiration. That's sweating. We're not talking about that.
I was, you know what's funny? I totally forgot that Spencer was out of town because, like, when you asked me, I was like, why don't you just ask Spencer? Isn't he in the building with
he's
you?
Not. He's and not.
I was
here.
Just like, and then, like, I think a couple hours later, I saw, like, he posted on Instagram and, like, I was like, oh, you're not here.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I forgot you were on vacation.
And I was looking at, Spencer's Icarus, and right now it's at $20,879 with 528 backers, 18 days to go, ladies and gentlemen.
I did make a purchase.
You did make a purchase?
Yeah, I expect that to hit in March. I was just like, ooh, this is confirmed. I'm going to, I did like the middle one.
The middle one.
That comes with the like pad.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I was like, nice. I'm not going to go, Pandora's box is a little bit out of my range.
Pandora's box 190, that's great.
My range, but the one underneath it, I was just like, you know what, I could do a deluxe.
I'm not making
though.
80k. You know what I mean? I'm not making 80k yet. If I make 80k, I'm getting the
Pandora's. I mean, that's Pandora's a sweet box. Fucking box. Yeah, so yeah. Like, it's cool. But
exclusive.
I was like, ooh, little,
comes with sneakers.
Little out of my range.
So yeah, check that out. Go to Icarus. Go to Kickstarter. Just Google it. Google Kickstarter Icarus. You'll find it.
I want to play it again, but I want each of I want to play it two more times in the podcast. But what? I want each of us to take turns being like the leader.
Oh, you mean like playing Spencer's role?
Yes.
Whoa. Because
I want to learn how to do it.
I kind of want to learn
too. Because I feel like this is, not to keep pitching his game, but I feel like it's a perfect game for like taking, like if you're on
a world.
If you're on like a road trip anywhere, not like or like camping or something,
right.
And you're hanging out in a group and you want like a game to play
throughout the whole game, throughout the whole
yeah.
Trip.
And I like I want to learn how to do it so I know how to play, like so I can know how to lead it and introduce it to more people.
Yes.
And I'm like, so I want to learn how to do it, but I also want to do that like while Spencer's around to correct.
He's like, well, you go first, or like you made it sound like
yeah. It's like I want like training wheels.
We should do
on how to
rounds.
Do it. Even though, like, I'm pretty sure, like, you just read the book and you're like, and here we go.
Yeah.
I just want, I'm like, well, if you have the creator of a game around, why not be like, hey, teach me how to be a DM.
Yeah, exactly.
I want that too. I want to learn how to be a DM in general. And I feel like this is also a good way to like learn how to do it.
I think it's like a gateway.
Yeah.
You know, to it, because you're not completely controlling the world, but you are like managing it. You know what I mean? You are like setting
like
the guidelines.
Encouraging. I watched the
Critical Role.
Geek and Sundry. The Geek and Sundry version of the game, where like the other guy who's like helping make the game, and watching them play it, and I was just like, oh, okay. So like it's kind of neat to see how like other people control the game.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, okay, I feel this. This is cool.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's
yeah. Kind
of, but it was also weird to be I'm so used to Spencer running it that I'm like, oh, this feels weird. Where's Spencer?
It was very weird. I'm so used to him running it and like and it's funny, they were like very clear about some of the rules. And
well, they did harsher rules. Like they didn't share each other's motives.
Right.
Like they kept their motives hidden. They what else did they do that was very different? The hidden motives, and there was something else that they, which was part of like you can do it as part of the, I forget what it was, but it was something else, and I was just like, what do you mean you're not going to share your motives? And I was in my head, I'm like, well, how are you going to make a group story if you don't know what the character? And
I feel like that's a very more
but
like
it's a different type of game.
It's a different
type
of
game.
But
it was also like it still worked because I was just like, what do you want? You know?
Yeah, no, it was it was a different type of game, but it was. It was good. It was like a different way of approaching it.
Yeah. But it was good to see that. I'm like, oh, good. It does definitely work overall, not just because it's Spencer.
Right. So that's doing well. Ruby's doing well.
Yeah, everybody, Ruby's doing well. I'm excited for the next parts that are coming up.
Should we talk about inspiration, perspiration, and anticipation?
Oh, anticipation. That's what it was.
Anticipation. So I guess, you know, we're talking about Ruby. I guess we should talk about perspiration.
Perspiration. Started a new project at work that I'm excited about, but it's also going to be a lot of work.
Okay. But what's the project?
I'm essentially kind of doing like almost like SourceFed animated, but not like full on like all animation. It's interview format where like they're interviewing rappers and asking them to tell a 5-minute story of like their first time doing something.
Uh-huh.
And obviously like it always goes over the 5 minutes. So I had to cut it. I'm doing like the whole thing where I'm cutting it down to under 5 minutes and then picking out sections to animate.
Oh yes. Very good.
You know,
that's
so
fun.
Like, so I'm doing that, and it's kind of nuts because like, and so far, like for me, like when I'm making, like I officially started like last week on it, but I started the animation today.
Wow. Yeah. And I know you were talking about how you always wanted to get into
animation. I always wanted to try to do it, and I just never had the time
to
do so. Now it's like,
getting paid?
They're giving me the time, not paid enough, but they're giving me the time to do it.
Yes.
And they're really encouraging. And for me, like all my like kind of proto animation, like in my head, I'm like, I'm so used to like looking at like Andre stuff and like people who like animate all the time where I'm like, I could definitely see how crude this is because I haven't done this before.
Right.
But like everybody at the office is looking at it like, oh my God, this is like really good.
Because
this is like
no
more
idea.
Than, but it's also more than they were expecting.
Right.
So in my head, I'm like, well, that's good that they're at that level. And I'm at the level of like, this needs to be better. I need to learn how
to.
Like,
that's a nice sweet spot.
Yeah, it's a good sweet spot where it's like, I don't feel discouraged from the coworkers, but it's all coming from my own like, okay, I just, and also just, figuring out the timing, because that's really what this like, it's essentially my first big project that they're giving to me to kind of do all on my own.
Right.
And they haven't given a hard deadline because they also know it takes time.
Yeah.
But no one knows how much time. So I'm trying to do it as fast as I can because I want.
And you'll get faster as you keep doing it.
But also, like, I want to make sure, like, it's all about, like, today was the day of, like, okay, what's my pace?
Right.
To at keeping it at the quality level that I'm okay. Not that I'm happy with, that I'm okay with.
Okay.
Because I'm not happy with my quality level of it, but I'm like, well.
At some point, you kind of have to, like, give up. Well, not give up.
Not
you
give
have
up,
to, you
but,
have
like,
to,
just
like,
be like,
on.
Okay, this is, yeah.
This is where we live. This is where my. Skill is at you know, I can keep going, but you know,
and I'll figure it out and it'll go. And I'm using a program that I've always wanted to, like,
which one?
Storyboard Pro.
Okay.
I took a course for it 2 years. Remember when at SourceFed there was like an option to take like courses? I did that.
You
I was
did.
Like, I was like, fuck it, it's a free class.
Yeah,
why
that.
Not
That's
do
really
it
cool.
I mean, it took forever to get there, but I did it, and I used it to learn Storyboard Pro.
It was like in downtown.
It was far. But like, it was, you know, once a week you go in and you learn how to use this program, and it was free. I'm glad it was free.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the program itself is like Photoshop, where it's $50 a month. It's not like you could buy it outright.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, I don't work on anything enough to justify that purchase.
Right.
Or to even practice on it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, I know this program. I can't really do anything with it, especially at the time, not afford that. And now it's like, oh, like they downloaded it for work, so now I'm like, oh, I get to use this program that I have to relearn everything I learned like 2 years ago. But I'm like kind of remembering it as I go. I'm like, man, I could have sworn there was a way I could move this layer, because it's like the Storyboard Pro, if you don't know, is kind of like it's like if Flash, Photoshop, and I'll say like Premiere had a baby.
Whoa. Okay. I love that.
And because it's, you could do vector bitmap, but it's animation. You could do frame by frame, but you could also do like what's it called?
What's
you know, like keyframing or something like not keyframing.
There's a special word in Flash that you can use.
Yeah, that where it's like you put the object on one side and then you make another keyframe and it automatically goes there.
It's like
does
it? It's like.
Yeah,
keying, though.
It might be keying.
I'm not an animator, so I don't know.
I forget the word, but there's a word where it's just like, you put a thing here, you put a thing here, you press a button, and it moves it for you.
Right, you set the A point, the B point, and then it moves it.
Yeah,
and then
it does the keyframing for you.
Right,
that's
there
the
is a word. I feel like it's keying.
It might be. It just doesn't feel like the right word.
No, it doesn't.
And so, like, it's combining that, but you could still also do the frame by frame. You can see your onion skinning, but you could also do layers. You could bring in your audio, like Premiere. Like, you could,
that's
like, you could
cool.
really, it's like, it's pretty,
wow,
a pretty robust
a pretty cool program.
Animation program.
Yeah.
But it's also the company's baby program, because their main animation program is called Harmony.
Mm.
And that's like the Maya of like animation,
where you're
oh God, this is a complicated fucking program.
Right.
And that program, you could do like rigging and stuff. And that's like taking those other four things and then adding After Effects to it, and that's like industry standard. Like most industry animation companies
use Harmony.
They either use Harmony for their bulk, but they all of them use Storyboard Pro.
Okay, so we're talking like Comedy Central, Nickelodeon using Storyboard Pro.
Yeah, they all use it to do their storyboards.
Okay, because storyboards.
Like you
yes,
could, but
yes,
that
okay.
program is robust enough that you could do legit animation in it. But so people do basic stuff, but they also do like. When you see those rough animatics outside of like Disney, which actually still draws it by
very
hand,
rough, yeah.
But like whenever you see like behind the scenes, like their storyboards are usually done in Storyboard Pro.
Oh,
like it's just set up really wonderfully for
it. They're trying to up their program, kind of move, be in that mid mid-tier of animation.
Yeah.
Like, not low tier, not high tier, but in that middle ground.
Yeah, but you
where
could
people,
do so much. Yeah. You could do so,
well,
so
like,
much in it.
It's like
I think
Premiere.
The only thing you can't really do is stuff like lighting. All that's like harmony. Like, the advanced stuff is like lighting, extra like 3D object kind of stuff. Like,
right.
That's all the fan. Like I said, the harmony is like the Maya of it.
Right.
But Storyboard Pro is legit. It's so good. And it's a little counterintuitive in certain parts, which
okay.
I was like, why? I was glad I took the course, just because there's like little things where it's just like, oh, if I didn't know to press that button,
right,
I wouldn't.
It wouldn't engage a certain action.
Yeah. Like importing your sound, it doesn't play right away, even though I could see the wavelength. And I'm like, why the fuck aren't you playing the sound?
Yeah.
And then I remembered, I'm like, didn't he say there was like some weird button?
You have to like toggle
and
it
even,
on.
And even I remember him complaining about it too. Like, well, I don't know why the fuck they would do that. Because why would you import sound without wanting to hear the sound that you're importing?
Yes.
And then you find the button, and you're like, okay, here it is. But it's like stuff like that where you're like, huh, but it's still like really robust. And once you like know what things are, you're like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, I see what it all is.
It's kind of like, I don't know if you have the new Photoshop 2019.
Oh my God, they changed undo. I was so pissed.
They changed the resize.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. I like bust the sound just now?
I don't know. It's okay.
It's fine. Okay, they did two big things to the new Photoshop.
Yeah, it rocked my world when I started.
One was they
changed
the undo.
Huge.
Huge. Which, but you could undo their undo.
Okay.
Which I did at home. I forgot how to do it. We just upgraded to at work, and
yeah.
I'm like, I don't remember what I did to fix the undo, so I'm just dealing with it.
Uh-huh.
But that's the transform tool, you can't. You just have to accept that that's a new thing, and it's completely the opposite of what it was.
Well, the thing is like, you're talking about when resizing it keeps its
when
shape.
When you resize a thing, normally back in the day,
yeah.
If you want to keep the ratio the exact same.
Right. Say if I have a picture and you want to make it
bigger
without making me look skinny or...
Yeah, without warping it at all, you press shift.
Yes.
You press shift
standard.
And you moved it and literally decades, this is what this move was. Like,
yeah.
You just know it. They just changed it to like you don't have to press shift anymore, and if you press shift, it warps it.
Right.
So like all your natural instincts to be like, I'm going to move this now, I'm going to press shift, and you're like, why is it wonky? And then you let it go, and it's just like this
but
thing
honest,
that you
like,
never thought about before because you're so muscle memoried into
it. Yeah, it's
it.
Like okay, here we go, click, move, click, move. Like, but
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense to make the move because
it does
because that's what it should have done in the beginning.
And all every other program is like. Kind of like that.
It should have been in the beginning. And so they're like, okay, we know we fucked up. We're gonna, you know, you don't have to press shift anymore.
But I'm like,
and then in 5 years, we'll be happy with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It just takes your brain. But I'm like, man, this is literally the undo thing in particular. I made sure I look at home, like it's back to normal. Because I'm so used. There's two undos, by the way, in Photoshop. If you're not sure.
Yeah.
There's Control Z, which is more of a toggle. It undoes. And if you press Control Z again, it just redoes your move. So
yes,
you could
that was very irritating when I first started Photoshop.
Yeah. But once you learn that that's a great way to see if you like the thing you do.
Very true.
It becomes useful.
Yeah.
And then if you just want to do a continuous undo, it's the same thing. It's
like
it's
shift.
Control Z, but like then you press shift with it and then you'll do a continuous. Perfectly, you just literally decades of doing this. Now they changed it where if you just press the undo, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
And you're like, they essentially just flipped it. I'm like, why did you do that? Mind you, again, it should have been something that should have been done in the beginning. But my God, I complained to Twitter. I was like, why? And they wrote back. They were like, you could undo the undo part. Here's how. I was like, thank you. And then I was like, what about this? What about this transform thing? And they never responded. I was just like, God damn it.
No respond.
But I was like, also like, I knew one was being a brat about it. I was like, I'm being an old fart and you're changing my tools, even though I know conceptually this makes way more sense.
Yeah.
I just hate it because I'm not used to it.
And you get into a workflow. You get into a flow state, if you will, where you're just kind of working and going and you forget all these changes and it interrupts you.
Yeah.
Like it's a thing where...
It's jarring.
It's
like all of a sudden you're like working with a pencil and then every like time you want it to erase it, like... added another mark instead, and you're like, but that's not what an eraser does.
Exactly. And people always see me like, I'm always like, oh god damn it, and I always do this. I'm like, what's wrong, are you okay, Luis? I'm like, yeah, it's fine, I lost a frame, or like it slipped over, or like or whatever.
It's like the tiniest thing. Like interrupt the flow of what you were doing,
right? Because you're pretty much essentially you're going 60 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
and then like a little bump or something will just kind of like you'll just crash and fall, and you're like, okay, well, shit, now I have to kind of get back into the zone again.
Mm-hmm.
And so just one thing will, like, you know, either this file's not being read or it's not being rendered, and you're just like, you know, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Me also, I will say, like, the learning Premiere, because at home I edit on Final Cut 10, because I'm like, I have a Mac and I'm used to it, and I learned, like, iMovie and stuff. So, like, that shift wasn't jarring to me when it switched over. I was just like, oh, okay. While everybody else in the editing world was like, what have you done?
Right.
This is demon programming. And I'm like, you know. But I'm like, it's fine for me. So I'm used to using it.
Yeah.
And then, but at work, I'm learning Premiere. And I'm like, oh, my shortcuts are different. And mind you, like, they said, like, oh, you could switch it to, like, Final Cut shortcuts. I'm like, no, because if I'm on somebody else's computer, then I'll never learn. So I'm just trying to learn all these Premiere shortcuts. And it's a nightmare for me, because I go home, I edit on one way, I go to work and I edit another, and I'm like just trying to remember all these little things.
I definitely put on Final Cut, and then I make heavy adjustments, because the way that I edit, just there's certain things that are very, like, repetitive actions,
right?
You know what I mean? Like in and outs, and then deleting those in and outs. I
just don't want to mess with it, because at work everyone kind of, like, shares computers too.
I see,
so if I fuck with the shortcuts, it'll, like, and someone needs to go on my computer for something, it'll.
Well, they can change the shortcuts if they want to.
Not everyone's learning how to edit.
Oh, okay.
Let's just say that. Like, everyone knows, like, basic stuff.
Yeah.
Like they're at my, like, people know, but they're not, like, they, nobody was really hired to be an editor. Everyone was hired to be, like, a producer.
Okay.
I was hired to be a designer, you know, like, stuff like that. But we all are, like, learning to edit.
You're probably top tier over there. You're like,
design wise. Yes.
Yeah.
Producing. No. So it's like, essentially, like, what we were hired to do, we're all good at, but all the things we have to do, okay, we're all learning this. Cool,
right.
cool. Here we go. Let's figure this out. And so that's why it's like keeping everything kind of consistent makes sense. So I'm also like, that's also why I do want to learn the Premiere stuff, just so I'm like, if I learn it and I know it, and then if I have to change it, then I'll at least know what I'm changing.
Instead
of just, like, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Like figuring out that, like, the delete key in Premiere isn't the same. Like, there's, because, you know, the long keyboards.
Yeah.
So, like, I was trying to do the thing where you delete, like, a thing and it automatically, like, moves the timeline, and I'm like, why isn't why isn't it doing it? And she's like, you're not pressing the right delete. I'm like, why would I have to touch that delete? Why can't I use this delete? What if I'm home and I have my short ass keyboard? And she's like, it won't work at home. And I'm like, why would you do this?
Okay, that's the problem, is like the Mac is starting to give out these short little keyboards,
right? I have a short, like, keyboard at home.
You can't do some of the actions with that short keyboard,
right? Which I was just like, why would you do? But it's like, you could do it in Final Cut.
Yeah.
I never had that. I was just like, oh, here's my ripple delete, it automatically does it. I'm like, here we go. So that's why, like, I was like, I need to learn how to do ripple delete in Premiere, because this is a problem where I have to, like, select everything and manually move
ripple
it over.
Ripple delete is key.
Oh, major my God. Key. It's the best. Now that I know how to do it, I'm like, okay, cool.
I mean, ripple delete was important for white walls, because you had to cut out the breath.
Yeah.
So ripple delete's just, like, beautiful.
Yeah. No, that was, like, I was like, thank you, Kezzy. Especially Kezzy's teaching everybody how to edit.
That's,
I'm like,
so funny. I forget Kezzy's over there.
I was just like, Kezzy, thank you.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
I'm constantly like, Kezzy, like, how do I do? Like, I don't even know what this is called, but how do I do this?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you press this.
She must be like a god over there.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah, they're like, oh, okay. Like, she's
Kezzy,
making,
what do we do? Ask Kezzy, you know.
Yeah, she's making templates for everybody. Here's, like, she made templates for everybody to, like, make, like, all the, like, snaps and everything. And then,
oh, yeah, that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, everyone's like, just try to keep everything design wise in the same consistency, at least until, like, you know it enough to be able to, like, break it.
Right.
But I went,
they have these, like, graphic essentials where you just, like, it makes graphics, like, it'll do a cool thing where it'll pop up on the screen. But all you have to do is change the text.
Right. So we were doing stuff like that. But then I was encountering stuff where I'm like, I will need to break this because I want to do something with
different.
The text in the thing. And I was like, and so, like, I just like, Kezzy, how do I do? And she's just like, oh, you have to learn how to use the text tool. And then I think one day she was out and I really needed it. I was just like, fuck it. And I just went on Google. I was like, how do I break? And as
YouTube,
soon as I figured
Google.
Out how to break it, I was like, I'm never using this template again, because then I was able to, like, do way more things.
Yeah.
And then when she came back, she was like, how are you doing that? I was like, I'm not using your template. She's like, oh, good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad. It's like you're learning. Good. As long as I stay consistent with, like, our stuff, then it's fine.
Right.
And just like a couple weeks ago, other people were like, how are you doing? And they're like, you got to break the template.
You got to break it.
And like, we're starting to show them how to use like the type tool and stuff. And they're like, oh my God, this is so much fun. I'm like, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then we have to, like, then all of us are like, you have to be consistent though. You can't just like.
You can't just go crazy.
You
can't have motions doing things that they're not supposed to be doing.
Well, it's a lot of it is just like, it's like typography stuff.
Right.
So which is harder to teach because like if you don't have the eye. If you don't have an is the solution not working?
My solution is failing now. It's the Titanic
Luis's
is sinking.
Luis's mic is collapsing on him again.
We got to figure this out. We're going to have to duct tape this thing, gorilla tape this thing. Okay, so.
Yeah, so, but like, it's like fun to see like everybody's growing and learning and we're all figuring it out. And yeah, so
that's
like.
Super awesome.
Well, our hours suck, but the work is like getting more interesting.
Well, my hours are going to suck. I have we're shooting like, a test pilot that hopefully will get picked up.
And I like test pilots.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. So we shoot it, and then if it goes well, the network decides that they want to actually go to series with it.
Snap or on TV?
TV. Ooh, yeah, actual TV.
That TV money.
Yeah.
That's nice.
We got some TV deals we're trying to break.
That's
you know?
Amazing.
But it's not me. You know, we have like a development
the company,
team.
The company,
yeah. So tomorrow we have some big day. We have a long days tomorrow, like really long. Where I have to go pick up a 3-ton truck.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Well, do you know how to drive that?
I'm kind of nervous, but I'm just going to trust the universe, myself.
I mean, just follow the traffic laws.
Yeah, I'm just going to be a baby about it.
And
I'm
don't
gonna be
go
very,
fast.
No,
and go,
not,
is
not
it
fast
raining tomorrow?
No, it would be fucked because we have some car shots tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And the weather says it's not going to rain. But we're going till, so I'm picking it up at 9, and since it's a night shoot, we're going till 2 in the morning.
Oh, shit.
So really, the crew doesn't get there till 2, and then we leave at 2 because in film, by union laws and just by courtesy laws, you can only work 12 hours straight. If you go over, it's like you have
to pay a ridiculous amount of money.
Right, because it's like you're not allowed to do it or you pay a lot of money. And then after that, you have to give the crew 12-hour breaks before they can come back on set.
Yeah.
You know? So if we cut it
to... Union rules are great.
Yeah, what's great? Because then you
Unions
get tired.
Unions are good for people anyway.
You get tired. You get tired and you go home and, you know...
You don't want to have injuries on set and things like that if people can't, like...
Or if someone's tired, really tired, they're going to fall asleep in the wheel and then... Like
hurt themselves,
and we're offering like, you know, if you're too tired, we'll give you a lift because obviously, please don't get in an accident.
Yeah.
So I got some 2 long days ahead of me. I don't know why I brought that up. Why did I bring that up?
Because you're starting a new project.
Oh yeah, new project. Okay. Yeah, I'll talk about my project. Oh,
can you?
Oh, my project?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I can talk about my project. I filmed the show. The Baked.
Yes.
I did the subplot. It was very fun. I'm trying to edit right now. And I haven't had time because we've been so busy at work. And then, so I'm working on that right now.
Yeah.
So there'll be more information about that soon. I kind of want to move on to these other topics a little bit. But yeah, hopefully, I'm trying to figure out a whole YouTube release system right now. Because I originally was like, do I do it once a month? Release? Do I do it twice a month? A release?
Obviously, the more frequently is probably the better.
That's what I talked to John Ross about it, and he was like, "Yeah, dude, you got to do like once a week." I'm like, "Once a week?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "That's so hard because
I'm struggling with that vlog, trying to get it out once a week."
Yeah, and it takes like for something like that, like okay, when I did people be like, it took me like 8 hours. You know what I mean? To do an episode, and I was doing it fast.
It's like a full time job.
Yeah, I was doing it fast, and sometimes like I'm doing it so fast, you don't even have time to be creative with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just kind of have to go and instinct.
That's why they say like the next thing for like YouTubers, if you know how much time you have for, in order for like the videos to kind of have more sustainability is they kind of need to be like instructionals. So it's like if someone's searching on how to make a thing, like those videos will kind of be like everlasting because like as long as like it's current up to date stuff, like they'll click on your thing, be like, I need to learn how to do
that. And we are going to try to learn, you know, it is like we're going to try to bake this thing that, my guest had, and everyone knows who my guest is.
I mean, you could always do seasons. Like, that's a thing, too. That's what the Epic Rap people
probably
will do.
I probably will do that once Christmas and Thanksgiving comes around. Like, I'll hit up those holiday, like, those like, type of specific baking.
Because you could do, like, if you did seasons where, like, so you could save up all your edits.
Oh, you mean, like, seasons, like actual, like.
Like, episodes. Like, be, like, save up and then, like, you know, for, like, 2 months straight, put out 2 months worth.
That.
And then you're like, okay, season one's done. Go on hiatus.
I was kind of thinking that.
Record
too.
More.
Yeah. And like, I that's what I'm trying to figure out right now. Like, I might have.
And you could do like funding and stuff that way too. And all that stuff. Like, help us fund season two, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if anybody, please. I mean, please. I tweeted today for the first time in a long time.
You tweeted? What?
I tweeted today.
I don't even remember you had a Twitter.
I'm like, I'm gonna tweet. Why not? I'm gonna try tweeting. You know, so I tweeted a little bit. I tweet. But please message me. Like, don't be shy. Slack, Instagram, Twitter. Let me know. Let me know about this YouTube thing, because I was originally going to do it twice a month, because like I said, it takes me eight.
Wait, what's your Twitter handle?
Louis12 across all platforms.
Still, wait, spell what?
Louis12.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And so it took
me. Do you even have an icon?
Yeah, it's me smiling. No, with an I, Louis12.
Okay, I was like.
So it takes me 8 hours. Let me just break it down. My thoughts, my methodology here. It takes me 8 hours to do a PBL quickly. This is a new format, so I would like to spend more time with that. Probably like 12 hours. And I was going to use my 1 hour lunch breaks to edit at work. So I'm thinking 8, 10, that's already 2 weeks. It's going to take me 2 weeks to push out a video. So that's why I said every 2 weeks I would push out a video. But then I need some leeway time.
Yeah.
So I was thinking the 1st and the 15th to be release dates. You know what I mean? Because right now I'm struggling with the fact of, like, if things are too frequent, I feel like people will get sick of it. But also people want frequency because they want to binge it too.
They're not going to get sick of it. If it's too frequent. Once a week is not frequent.
I don't want to get people to get sick of it.
Once a week is not frequent.
Okay.
Once a week is not too much.
Too much. Okay. So I was thinking I would do like the major episodes like on the 1st and on the 15th or something like that.
Your last tweet was, I haven't drank any water.
Yeah, that was my last tweet. I was sitting there at what time? 1:30? I was like, I have not drank any water.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay.
And
cool.
So, and so I figured, okay, the 1st and the 15th, I release these videos. And then in between, maybe I can have like something called Baked Leftovers. And then it has like stuff that you wouldn't have, that got cut off from
the episode. That's fine. A lot of
like 2 minute videos.
A lot of places do that.
Okay. Well,
but I like that you were like, once a week is going to be too much for people. So I was just like, no, once a week is like standard.
Okay.
Well, once a week is standard. Well, there's something. You could achieve, here's the the like golden, like if you can do, that's why like people are like, if you did daily, that was like
daily is a lot. I feel like that's too
there's
much.
There's people who do daily though, and it's like, it's nuts, but they all cut back. They do it for like maybe 2 years tops, and then all of a sudden they're like, I'm burnt out. And it's like, no shit.
Yeah. Well, and I can't expect, like, you can't expect me to watch it all the time.
But a lot of people do, like, it seems like the main, if you don't have like a big crew, all these people who do this do have a big crew. It's usually like a twice a week situation.
Well, that's the thing.
Which is like a Monday, like they do like a Monday, Thursday release thing. Right. And normally it's like something that's always set.
Right.
And then the other thing is more like casual.
Okay.
Or
yeah,
they
casual,
share
it.
Well, like what you call it, the Green Brothers.
Uh-huh.
They've been doing twice a week forever.
Yeah.
But their twice a week is literally them talking to the camera, answering, talking about some random thing for like,
well, I feel
literally
like,
4 minutes.
I feel
that's
like as
it.
Time goes on, I might like respond to, like, I might just have a session where I'm like responding to people or something, you know.
Binging with Babish is the other big cooking show, and they do once a week.
Okay.
Which is like, holy shit, because it's a production.
Yeah.
And they're in betweens, like they'll do like live things where they'll just cook live with people.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's very
and
nice.
Like they'll do like outtakes and stuff occasionally.
Yeah, because like I'm producing it, I'm in it, I'm editing it.
Yeah,
you know
think
what
for
I mean?
You twice a month is pretty good.
It's pretty, like, I don't want to push myself.
Once a month might be like too much of a gap.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, honestly, it's for your own pacing. And it also depends on like what kind of goals you want. Are you trying to like really grow an audience, or are you doing this just for you?
I don't know. Maybe
if
a
you're
little
doing
bit,
it just I'm, for you, once a month is fine.
Right.
If you're wanting to turn it into like a thing, then like twice a month.
I don't know. I'm just trying to find ways to I love doing this, but I'm also, if I can align this and get more views and get some money, like that'd be great. Like I can't. Like, it's so cold here right now, and I'm driving with my car without any heat.
Why?
Because I can't afford fixing the heat.
Oh.
And then my tire's flat, so like I have to refill it every 2 weeks.
Oh,
to
make, fuck.
Yeah, and I can't just patch it because like,
well, here's
the edges of it is already like balled over, and so it's
I will
like,
say it's gonna take for a long time to make something on YouTube.
Oh, that's
to
true.
Help
that's
fix
very
your car.
True. That's very true. That's fine, but you know, it's like why not?
But
if
it's
I
nice
can,
that like when hobbies actually like,
but I might
like make something
right. But truly, I think you know it's a hybrid where like I might do seasons because I feel like I'm gonna need a break.
Yeah,
you know, like okay, I'm gonna do like 10 episodes, 12 episodes, 15, and then I'm gonna take a break.
Yeah.
You know, and then yeah.
I mean, Ruby's going to take about a month break once this chapter's done.
Right.
To
so.
Like, so I could build a buffer and like kind of refresh and like work on other things for a little bit and then get back to it.
Right.
Because like, yeah, you need
yeah.
spots.
We need breaks. Okay, cool. So let's see. Inspiration.
Inspiration? Is that like the stuff that you're watching that's like make motivating you? Is
yeah, like
that?
You're seeing a new show, you're hearing some new
oh,
music.
Okay. I sent you this cartoon.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I'm sorry. I was so busy. I was supposed to call my mom today. I didn't even call her because I was so busy today.
Okay. Well, it's a new Pixar short.
Okay.
It's called Kitbull, Kitbull.
Yes.
And it's about the unlikely friendship between a little kitten and a pit bull.
Aww.
And it's Pixar, and that's all I'll say.
Okay, I'm going to watch it.
It's done in 2D. 2D Pixar. Uh-huh. And there's also like after you watch it, they do have like a little behind the scenes segment, and it's really weird because they started off in 3D and then they went to 2D, and I was just like, what? I love that this is the way technology is going. Like they literally built everything in 3D first so they could figure out the angles. It's like how I use The Sims. To well, like draw backgrounds in Ruby
right.
where I'm like, oh, I use this to just help me out so I could know the angles and stuff. And then I'll just draw on top of it.
But you know what?
They do that for this where they're like, we built everything in 3D. And then we're just like, well, we want it to be a 2D thing. But so we're just using all the angles. And like, here's this frame in 3D. And they would screenshot it, give it to their background painters so they could like paint it. And I was like, I love you guys. I love that y'all are doing the same tricks that we did.
But I feel like, I think what they did in 2D was they actually like modeled the characters. You know what I mean? Like they had a
Back in the day, it's like you would still do, I mean like for the most part, you still do your storyboards in 2D and then you would translate it to 3D. It's just funny because it's
like they would
like
make claymation
going,
models of it and then they would draw it and then they would like move it like, okay, this is how.
Yeah, it's just weird how it's like, I love the intermingle
of
all
of it. Cool.
But also the story is wonderful.
Right,
it's
I'll
really,
it
really good. That's I said. I was like, Luis would love this.
Yeah, check it out. I'm sorry. I'm so busy.
It's okay.
I have to move some doctor
we'll
appointments.
Link it in
I have
the
to call
Slack.
My mother. I have to call my mom. I haven't called
yeah,
in a
you
while.
Call your mom.
And it was so busy today. I didn't even drink water today. If you looked at my Twitter.
Yeah, you didn't. Yeah, you should do all.
I didn't
things.
Drink a lot of water today.
I will link the video in the Slack. And also, just search it on YouTube. It's called Kitbull. Inspiration. I'm like.
Quick. My inspiration, or it's twofold. I want to make it quick. I'm playing this game or learning thing called Grasshopper.
Grasshopper?
Grasshopper is a coding game where you can learn coding app for beginners. And so it's kind of like Duolingo and all that stuff, but instead you learn how to code and learn about like variations and like arguments and functions
Ooh,
and things like that.
This sounds like a headache and I love it.
Yeah, so you like you know, the first thing it teaches you is like make a French flag. You know
so
what
you're
I mean?
Learning how to do like colors.
Yeah, so it's like simple stuff where it's like, you know, this little you decide how to okay, next. So you kinda like start puzzle. So you do like draw box parentheses blue, draw box parentheses white, draw box parentheses red, and then you go new line. You know, so I always wanted to kind of have a better understanding of just like coding.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's just a fun thing to do because I do this and then I do this game called Wordscapes, which I'm really into, everybody. And anytime I'm bored, instead of like going on Reddit or looking at on feeds.
Yeah.
This is like
the hellish nightmare of the actual world.
Yeah. Like it's pretty engaging where I can release because one, I could definitely be in a place where I'm like judging myself and other things or also like... you know, just feeling whatever. I don't need that pressure. So this is kind of like,
it's like crosswords.
It's like crosswords.
But so like different.
Yeah. And so you can kind of go in.
I should send that to my mom.
So
she loves like word puzzles.
Yeah. Line. You know what
I
mean?
I see. Oh, that's cool.
And then you go in, and then you can kind of play. I'd be into that. Wordscapes, everybody. It's very fun if you're into
like
that kind of thing.
It's like crossword mixed with like a Scrabble a little bit.
Yeah, because basically you're given, originally when you first start, I think you have five letters. And then from those letters, you can make a numerous amount of words. But you have to fill out a crossword.
So you have to like get specific.
You have to get specific letters. And then if those words, if you come up with words that don't belong in the crossword, you just get bonus points for that.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Sometimes I get like 11 words that aren't even in the crossword puzzle.
You're like, which is the word in the puzzle?
Where is it? I've given you 11 words. Where? Put it in the crossword puzzle. One of the words they don't like, and also like words.
I would get to that and just be sitting there and just be like, fuck this game. And then like.
They will not accept bad words either. Like.
And then I would go back to it after a bit. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you get it in like two and you're like.
But that's the thing is like you'll go
why?
Back. You'll go back and you'll be like, oh, I see something. I see with fresh eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So that's kind of my thing. Grasshopper and word escapes. I think that I am uninspired by and upset a little bit is the new Samsung phone.
The folding one?
No, the Samsung S10. Have you heard about this?
No.
The new Samsung S10 has a selfie mode where. Okay, we all heard about the new iPhones adding like a beautification mode.
Yeah.
So it beautifies. Other phones gives you the option to turn off the beautification, but like the new iPhone 10s and 10Rs or 10Ss, they do it automatically, I think. It's like a coding, whatever. Okay. The Samsung, what they do now is you'll take a selfie and you can choose between eyes, nose, jawline, lips. And you can, which obviously you could do it in post with another app, like a third party app.
Yeah, but they do it in app.
But now it's built in app. So like if I'm taking a photo of myself.
So it's like Snapchat filters, but like on your phone.
And also not like when you have a Snapchat filter and you see your eyes big and whatever, like, you know, it's like it's altered. It's a filter. There's little glowy things all around you. Like it's fine. Yeah. And this one is like you could potentially trick people. How you look, and you can completely live in this. I don't know.
You can't turn it off.
You can't turn it off.
Oh, okay.
I feel very weird about it because it was like, this is already an issue that we have. I feel, and I don't know. I just felt very icky when it first happened.
I would want to see how it does because if it's stuff like.
Like, even small things where it's like, oh, my nose is a little big, so I'm going to make it small.
Or
my jawline is
I don't like
the little...
idea of, like, changing your actual facial features.
That's exactly what it's... And
that,
it's your
that
lips, ki-
that
nose.
That kind of bugs me. But if it's stuff like, well, hey, look, we're going to change the lighting a little bit better so it doesn't look like you have bags under your eyes. A part of me is just like,
okay.
Thank you. Because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open up another app and take the bags out of my eyes anyway.
And,
so if you're doing that automatically, cool, thanks.
And there's makeup and there's contouring. I understand. But it's just something about... I don't know. When I saw it happening, it almost was this.
I wouldn't want to change my face completely. Because there's an app I use to help like to edit my photos. And it's like, it's one of those controversial, it's like a Chinese, it's a Japanese or Chinese app called MeToo, MeeiTu.
Uh-huh.
And you could go in there and really like fuck up your face.
Yeah.
Like, if you really wanted to. But I use it super subtle. Like I'll use it to like. Literally, honestly, for the most part, I use it to take dark circles from under my eyes.
Fine.
But sometimes I take a selfie and I'm not wearing any makeup, and they have a beautify feature where it'll kind of do like a foundation on you. And
right.
I never have it full. Like they always want to do 50. I'm like 10%.
Yeah.
Like I don't like having it extreme, but I like a little bit of help because I'm like, oh, like I really just like I wore eyeliner. You can't see it in the photo, so it digitally gives me a little bit.
Right.
So I like. Stuff like that, but I like that you could control it. And I know when I go in there, I make sure that I don't change my face.
Because
in that app, I can make myself taller. You could adjust your height.
Yeah.
You could adjust everything if you wanted
that's
to.
Crazy.
And I was just like,
I just think that's like that's almost catfishing
nuts.
In some weird way where it's like you think you're talking to this person and they send you pictures or you see them online on social media and then you finally meet them and you're like,
oh,
whoa.
You look like nothing like the person.
You are not this person at all. And I had a different. Like, I understand we connected on a personal level, but still there's something about your, I don't know, your.
I feel like I don't mind that the features exist because I mean, I just.
It has to be done responsibly.
Yeah. And here's the thing. For the most part, most people aren't good at it.
Yeah. And
most people like, so you'll see those, you could tell when you see pictures where people's faces are super blown out.
Right.
And you're like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
So like, and so there's a part of me that I'm like, hey, if you're good at it and then you also shoot a video and you don't look that different from your video, then I'm like, oh, okay, well, you figured out how to do it subtle.
Yeah.
And if you're doing it subtle, that's just, to me, is like the same as makeup. So I'm like, yeah,
if
whatever.
It's, right. If it's, yeah, makeup and all that stuff, I think it's just it when the way they were.
But if you're doing it all the time where you never really get to see your own face.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be strange.
And that's, I feel like
but
that's.
But then I think that's like also like weirdly human nature. Like, no one really wants to look bad. And I don't know how you come. So like, if someone's making a product that leans into like, people just like it, this anyway.
Right.
So I'm like, well, I guess.
It's tough.
Because even then,
I just feel like nothing we're in a place.
Is really, like, I mean, you know about camera lenses. Like, the your lens right. alone will literally change your face.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, what's the difference between, like, adjusting a lens or adding a lens that's, right. like, a front-facing lens that the lens changes right. your face versus,
but it's all,
like,
it's all,
the feature
it's
in camera?
It's all done as one. And this one is, like, it's singling out certain features with your eyes
yeah,
and your nose,
strange.
Your jawline, your lips. You're like, I don't, and if you do it subtly, I guess that's fine. Cause maybe, you know, you're feeling bloated or whatever. And you
yeah,
wanna,
like,
you know,
anyways, honestly, you wanna, there's just something that's like, man, I didn't moisturize my face.
Right. Right.
And I'm like, I'd like, you're like it a little... to be like, I don't personally wear foundation like yeah. in real life. Cause I don't like how it feels,
mm-hmm.
but I'm like in a photo, like, it literally could depend on it. Cause you could do like lighting where you're like, I look amazing. And then you take a picture in like a slightly different lighting. And I'm
right.
like, I look like a beast person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, a part of me is I'm like, it's all not real anyway because there's so many real life factors
right.
that like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Because like you could take a picture from down here and all of
yeah.
a sudden you're like, your face
right.
is
and
way
you know,
wider than what it
and
really
you see
is.
You see those models sometimes they're like, this is, you know, like what was it? There was that one trend. It was like 5 second diet or it was like.
Yeah. And it's like sucking in your belly and just,
and
it's just literally
it.
Just an angle of how you're taking the
right.
photo.
And then when you're sitting down, you kind of
yeah,
see it for yourself.
Like, so it's like all, to me, it's like all part
I
of
just, yeah.
that illusion. Like the truth is don't trust any pictures.
Yeah.
Don't trust any pictures. Don't trust any video. The only thing you could even really trust is kind of like when it's in your face. And even then.
But you know, we can consciously talk about this, but I think there's something. Not everybody, because everybody's different, but I think subconsciously it does something, you know what I mean?
I hope that the feature...
That you become so saturated by it, like everybody starts joining in on it, and then it becomes this weird alter thing. I don't know.
But then it'll become a trend to be like, this is a natural face, no filter, and that'll happen too.
Right, right.
It'll reverse
back.
Where it's just like, oh no, my face looks like this on its own.
Yeah.
And that'll be a thing. Like it'll flip around.
It'll
because,
of course.
Because people will use it so much that people will be like, oh, you don't look special anymore.
Right,
and then it'll revert back to like, well, you know what's special? Showing your flaws.
Right.
And it'll do, it's just, that's literally how we are. And it's real
weird.
It's
right, it is. And they're leaning into it. So it's just.
I think a lot of it is, I feel as long as that feature, if it's on the phone, if you could turn it on and off, like within the phone, like not like going behind the, you know, like how some settings you have to like go in the settings to change
no,
it.
It's like,
as long as it's like, I press a button and you could kind of see it on and off.
Yeah. It's definitely
that would be fine because I would be concerned of like, not necessarily adults, but more like children.
Yeah. Yes.
So if you're a kid taking and you don't know any better yet
uh-huh.
and you think your face looks like that. You know what
or
I mean?
You grow
like,
up,
and you just don't know
right.
until
or you grow
like,
up thinking that's how, you know, like, oh, that's
yeah.
how everybody looks. So
like,
I need to look that way too.
Yeah. So I would, I'd be more concerned for like a younger person
yeah.
who obviously doesn't have the experience of, and like,
right.
And like who doesn't have their perspective of like knowing what all these devices and the companies and everything. Like, it's like learning how much you're marketed to once
yeah.
you're an adult. You're like, oh my God.
Right.
And even then, like as an adult, like half the time you don't even realize. So
I think there's
taking advantage of people whose like minds are still vulnerable.
Yeah.
I'd be concerned, but even then, I'd be like, that's up to like parents to kind of like.
It's very interesting.
Work on that.
I think it tugs at a line for me where it's like, I think there are the way that when you grow up and you watch TV and movies, you have an impression of like, oh, this is how people look. At this age or at this time or when you're 50
yeah,
or 60
everybody
or
looks
40
way older on TV.
Or 20.
Like teenagers look like they're 30 or
but
that's
also,
what we grew up
but
with.
But also the people who are like 55 look different than normal 55-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, and you grow up with this perception of like, well, this is how I expect myself to age.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't realize that, yeah, I mean, Hollywood is beautifying. Hollywood is doing these tricks to change the looks. but you start judging yourself to be
based
like
based on like yeah it's like
based on this interpretation of like, well, you know, for guys it's like, oh well, my hairline receding, I'm getting gray hair at this point, you know what I mean, I'm whatever. And then you see like movies later where, you know, thick black hair, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
where
it's and like, you're like, and you're playing
now. But now I have like an eye where it's like, okay, well, that's a wig. He's wearing a wig, yeah. Or they dyed his hair or whatever. Like, I'm starting to notice these things. But like as a kid, it was just like you're not aware of it. My, and so you have
my favorite thing. Well, not my favorite thing, but like the knowing on that trend of like, because when we grew up, like teenagers were played by people in their 20s and sometimes in their 30s. So I think a lot, and I think because of that, like, so when I tell people my age, when I say, look, I'm 36, and they're like, oh my God, you look like you're in your like mid 20s or something. And in my head, I'm like, I think you think I look like I'm in my mid 20s because that's what older, like that's what TV makes mid 20s look like instead of like actually.
Well, no, I mean,
you know, does that make sense? Yeah. Like they're like, oh, you like in my, so like I feel like a lot of times things are like twisted around of like, cause when you actually look at what like an actual teenager looks like, you, it's like, you look like a baby.
Yeah.
It's you look true. Young. Yeah. Like, so it's cause so when people are like, oh, you look like you're in your 20s. I'm like, no, I don't. Have you seen a 20-year-old?
Yeah.
They look like children. Yeah. So like it's stuff
well,
like
also,
that where I'm like,
as we get older, we start seeing like the, like, you know, younger people look younger.
Yeah, which is like, but it's weird how like when you're growing
when
up,
I was
you're
in
like,
college and I was like looking back in high school, I was like, oh my God, look at these babies, you know. And now I'm like, look at these fetuses. You
know
what I'm saying?
I was like, oh my God, you guys are so young. Like, so I think, and but when you look at like television, you're like, it looks like every like 20-year-old has like their shit together, right. And they're like super like fancy and like, you know what I mean, so you're just like,
you know, and you do things to do things, and you know, I don't know, it's a whole thing. And so it tugged me at like that little part, it like pulled a line. So I don't know, that's a thing I felt.
I think Apple
today.
I remember Apple catching flack for that at one of their presentations where they're like, look, in our photo, in like this program, you could like, or within the app, you could like make someone smile.
Yeah.
Out of like you could fix like a thing, and like, obviously it was like a woman that they were like, look at it, and they made her smile in the phone.
No.
And people were like, the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What the hell? Like, and they, ooh, it was a bad idea. Bad idea.
Yeah. It was, that's a bad idea.
A real bad idea. So it's stuff along those lines where you're like, oh, how much time we got?
Oh, hold on. We're gonna finish in 5 minutes here. I think we did a long one today.
That's okay.
Okay, anticipation. What are you anticipating?
What am I looking forward to? Because I did my show, so I'm like, oh, and I'm right now. I'm currently doing the section of Ruby that I was anticipating before. Uh-huh. I'm starting to work on that. Oh, what am I anticipating? I don't know. I think the summer. I think I'm just looking forward to the summer.
Oh my God, it's been so cold. It's too cold.
It's real cold, and I really want it to be summer, and I want it to be warm again. And,
yeah, I can't wait for the
summer. And I would like to go to a pool party. I don't know when or how that's going to happen because my schedule is dumb.
Right.
But
you'll figure it out.
Like, I'll figure it out. But like, I'm looking forward to like warmth and like the sky being blue again.
I cannot wait for the summertime.
Right.
It's gonna be great. I have anticipation for Captain Marvel. It's coming out.
All right, 2 weeks. Or week? 1 week?
It's from 1 week.
I think when we release this, it'll be next week.
It'll be a week. Really? March? It's coming up soon.
Soon. It's either next week or the week after.
And I bought tickets. I'm taking a half day off of work.
Oh, wow. You're watching it Thursday, huh?
Oh, yeah. 7 o'clock. Nice. All right, baby. It's going to be big screen, big sound. And it's like, it's called like AMC Fan Event or something like that.
Oh, you're doing one of those?
Yeah. I spent a lot of money. I even have AMC Stubs. No, the AMC.
They're like,
A-list. And they're like, you can't use A-list for this. And I was like, I don't care. And so I got it. But really it's all kind of ramping up to the Avengers Endgame. And currently I'm going through the Marvel movies. So I made a map of like calendars.
Wow.
So we watched Iron Man. And I'm watching with Sarah. We watched Iron Man. And I just couldn't bear her to watch Incredible Hulk. Just because I was like,
oh no, don't do that.
I was like, honestly, Sarah, there's not that much going.
Don't do that.
And
there's so many movies.
And we're on a schedule. Like, we are on a schedule. We're watching two Marvel movies a week.
There's so many movies. You could skip some.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to. That's the only one we're skipping.
You're not skipping Thor 2?
No, we're going to watch Thor 2.
Wow.
We kind of like it a little bit.
Okay.
I know. It's not the greatest. I know. I'm sorry. But we'll watch it.
I still haven't seen Thor 2.
Look, Thor 2 at least has like...
It does connect.
It connects. There's a connective tissue. Incredible Hulk barely has any connective tissue.
No, it doesn't.
They have the colonel or the general, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the only thing. And so I told Sarah that. Like, nothing that happens...
Because it wasn't made to connect.
No, and I was just like, listen, there's this general that's part of there, and then he ends up being in South America. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it picks up in Avengers.
It's not even the same actor. It's like...
No.
It's
like, no. And like the whole vibe of it, it's different. So Iron Man, we watch Iron Man 1, watch Iron Man 2, and now we're going to watch Thor.
Okay.
We were going to watch it tomorrow on Thor's Day.
Oh.
But we might watch a little bit of it tonight, which is why I'm going to wrap
up. Yeah, no, let's wrap this up so you could see the best scene in Thor, which is...
Another!
Oh my god! And
all the crazy Dutch angles of side angles and the bleached eyebrows.
Ooh, you know what you could watch instead to replace Incredible Hulk? There's a short that happens. Watch it after Thor, but okay. it's a Coulson short.
Oh yes,
about it. And it's called On the Way to Thor's Hammer.
Okay,
and I think it's like 10 minutes.
I've seen a couple shorts that like some kids like stole the gun from the Chitauri. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the Coulson. I think he stops a robbery on his way.
Okay.
To Thor's hammer in the middle of the desert.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
And it ties in, and it's also good to have like the little Coulson moment for Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm getting ready for that. Trying to avoid things. I think I found out who the villain was accidentally.
For Captain Marvel. Oh man, so I'm more spoiler free than you are.
Yeah, I was scrubbing through. I was like, no, I've been trying to be very careful with my eyes. Like once I see something, just diverting my eyes.
Yeah. I've been trying to pick up your rule on stuff. Like I watched the first trailer for all of these, and then I never watch it again because by the time like it comes out, I don't remember.
Yeah. Also,
I might be spoiled with something.
Right.
But like. It's fine.
That's fine. Side note, also before we end, the new poster I see driving around here of her, I don't really like it that much because I think they have too much shadow on her face.
Because they're trying to make it like darker.
I know, but it just feels so
graphics heavy. Yeah, it'll be fine.
I want more than fine. I want amazing.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be.
I go into all of them like.
I can't wait.
I never go in with super high expectations. No. Because for the most part, Marvel's just like, either Marvel's going to be really, really good or it's going to be like, that was fun.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I haven't seen like a bad one, you know?
Yeah. I think the sum of it makes everything else really more enjoyable for me. You know, like I think it's a special time up until we get to Endgame. Like this whole like journey will be very special and very fun. After that, like I said, I'll start splintering, whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just like it's a very cool little once in a lifetime kind of thing. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's it for the show today.
Yeah,
we're gonna. Where can we find you, Star?
You can find me on Twitter at Starlene X, spelled Starline X. You can find me on Instagram as Starlene, spelled Starline.
Yep.
YouTube, Starline Hodge.
Starline Hodge.
Starlene Hodge, but you know.
RubyWhipple.com.
Yeah,
RUBI.
Yes, RUBI. I don't know why you always keep picking names that you have to misspell. This happened with Candy, too. Yeah. It was just like Candy Comics, Candy with an I. So it's Ruby Whipple with an I. And I was like, okay. And what else? By Icarus.
By Icarus. Go to @SpencerStark, right? Is that his Twitter?
Yep. And I think that's his Insta, too.
He'll come back soon. He's coming back. By the time you probably get this podcast, just flood his Twitter with good love. You can find me at Louie12, LUWI12 across all platforms. I'm starting a tweet. Maybe I'll tweet tomorrow.
You should tweet cat things.
I might tweet. I might tweet.
Who knows? You have so many cats, Louise. You need to share them with the world. Every time you tweet them, I'm happy.
I'm gonna tweet out a good one. I'm gonna tweet out a good picture.
Please.
Once this gets released, I'm gonna tweet it out.
Good.
Go to Twitter, see this awesome cute picture of a cat. Message me about what your thoughts about YouTube thing, about my journey. Let's see what happens there. I don't know.
Yeah, if you got some organizational ideas.
Yeah. What do you want to see?
All good.
That's it, everybody. And you know, have a beautiful day.
Woo.
Have a beautiful night. And we'll see you next time.
Woo.
Boom, baby. Snaps. We snapping here. We out.